In the first lesson, in case the NSA is listening, I made a statement about the president that Kyle said, you might want to get up and explain that a little bit better. When I said that our president, you can look at him up there and you can take a shot at him, I was not talking about physically taking a shot at him. I would think that that is one of the most horrifying things that anyone could ever do to another human being, take their life. I do not believe that at all. I don't care how much I might disagree with any president, that's not what I meant. I was talking about it is easy for even those that are up publicly teaching for us to take a shot at them. To talk, you know. Only difference is, when I'm up here preaching, doesn't bother me that you go home and take a shot at me. I want you to discuss it. I want it to enter your brain. I want you to, as a friend of mine used to say, let it rattle around in there for a little bit and, you know, think about it. Study it more, day and night, if I'm preaching God's Word. I want to make an attempt to get through some of this, and I'm going to do it more quickly. But to let others know, in the first lesson we talked about from Genesis 13, where Abram, before he was Abraham, made the comment, we are brethren. And I also used what the psalmist said in the 133rd Psalm about how pleasant it is that brethren get together. And in that first lesson, I talked about the fact that I believe here at Waynesville we try that very much. And I talked about the meanings that go with this word brethren. And it's actually, in some cases, in the Bible. It's talking about all brothers and sisters that are trying their best to do God's will. So, with that in mind, it was interesting because I actually prepared part of this for last week because I thought we were going to be here. And Cody on Wednesday night used this passage of Scripture. And for those that were here Wednesday night, he did a very good job on Philippians 2 in discussing the fact that we need to have consideration for each other, and we need to have that in consideration for our own selves. Now, why would he say that? Because if I'm not taking care of my own life, I'm certainly not going to consider others. So I have to think about that. I have to know that I have to get my life in order and to do things and to take care of my spiritual life before I could even approach someone or do something for them that would be meaningful to them. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to put it up at the end as well. This is the key to the whole thing I'm going to talk about. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any, and I want you to note these things. See what he's talking about? Any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. How do you do that? Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, how is that possible? He says, I'm going to give you a key to how you can do these things. This is the key. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own, not only for his own interest. So I need to be looking out for my own interest. But not only for that, but also for the interests of others. And the first example he uses, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now he'll use three other examples, but this is the highest one. So he's trying to let us know how to live your life. So how do we do it? Well, we need to be of the same mind. How is that possible? Well, we all seek out the same word. But we don't always come to the same conclusion. That's true. But we keep working at it. Because it didn't matter if you come to the conclusion that I do, but you better come to the conclusion that he wanted. So keep working at it, Abe. You need to work on this. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, be by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He's saying you only look to one authority. The only way you can be perfectly joined together is to look to the one authority. We also need to give honor or preference to one another. In Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. He said, if you understand this relationship, you'll do that. I need to show concern for others. I was thinking earlier, how many times has this happened in this congregation? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those that weep. In Romans 12:15, we find people in the Lord's church that are suffering things, and we cry for them. We find people that are, things are going well. I mean, our hearts go out to Mark and Lauren now because they're not going through good times. They need the extra income. It's just the way it is. We need to pray fervently for that. We rejoice with Cody. He got another job. We would rejoice with Nick, except he's going to France and Japan, and we don't get to go. We pray for one another. In Romans 15:30, Paul begged for this. I do too. I covet your prayers. I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. I need wisdom and understanding. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. As many times as Paul prayed, he said, but Roger, I want you to pray for me. If Roger had been there. But Abe's saying, Roger, I want you to pray for me. I need your prayer. I believe in prayer. James 5:13-18. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespass. You see the closeness here? You start to understand the dependence on one another. That if I have a need, and Mike knows that, I'm going to ask him to pray. If I'm sick, I'm going to ask him to pray. I believe his prayer will get there. Confess your faults to one another. Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. I want spiritual healing. Don't you? The effective, fervent, effective, fervent, both. Prayer of any person. No, of a righteous person avails much. Give us an example, would you? Oh, sure. Elijah was a man of a like nature of you, he said. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. I'm thinking, we need to pray earnestly. It quit snowing. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Did Elijah accomplish that? He got his will with God. He asked God, let that be your will. And God said, yes, I will. It will not rain. 3 years, 6 months. Is that power? Is that powerful? Could Elijah do that? Not without God. But he had the faith. Help with physical needs. 1 John 3:17-19, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. He's saying, Abe, you have a responsibility. And I will tell you, I do not carry this out 100%. But I will also tell you, if you have a need, express it to someone. We can't help with a need that we're not aware of. Don't ever, ever be ashamed when you have a need that you need help from others with. That's what we're here for. That's why He put me here. He didn't put me here to be served. He put me here to serve. Help them get out of sin. Galatians 6:1-2. Is there any greater task that we might have, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault? You see, Satan is so... I can't think of a word bad enough. Evil. That if he sees us doing good here, I can tell you what will happen. You'll go home and you'll start thinking in your mind, what did that person just say? And I wonder what they meant by that. And you know, I'm thinking they're probably turning against me. I'm thinking that's why he got to Judas. Don't let him do it to you. If you think someone said something, go to him. Because you'll be overtaken. You're not powerful enough. And I'm not powerful enough to overcome Satan. I need his word. And I need you to help me overcome him. If a man be overtaken in a fault, if Abe is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you restore me. You know what that means? Taking an old car and bringing it back to life again. Making it look like new. You can do that for me if I'm caught up in sin. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Don't do it haughtily. Don't do it self-righteously with me. Don't come to me as if you've never sinned. Come to me going, I've been there, Abe. Get out of it. And bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. James 5, 19 and 20, brethren, if anyone wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. Do you love someone enough to save them from death? But I'll tell you what else you'll do if you do it. You'll hide a multitude of sins. You'll prevent that from growing and getting worse and sometimes affecting a whole congregation and tearing it down. Don't cause a weak brother to sin. Whatever you do, don't ever do this. In Romans 14:21, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Nothing. Not one thing. And I do not believe the word wine here is talking about alcohol. I can tell you, I believe it's exact word oinos. It can have all the meanings, and he would not be saying it's okay to drink some wine, because I will tell you what, I will cause my brother to sin if I do that. I will cause my brother to sin if I smoke some marijuana or do anything else that would lead them to sin and make them think it's okay. Do not take problems before the world. We have them here. Boy, oh boy. You know what? Worst thing that happened to marriage. Worst thing that happened to marriage. I know y'all think Linda never does anything wrong, but every once in a while, maybe once a year, she does something. You know what? I am kidding about that. But if every time we had a discussion about something or an argument about something, I took it to everybody else, how long do you think our marriage would hold up? How long do you think a church will hold up if you go and you talk badly about the people that are there? If you've got a problem, leave it here. That thing about Vegas, forget that. If you've got a problem in the church, leave it in the church. He warns us about this. He said, you don't have anybody wise enough in that congregation to take care of a problem between brothers, he says in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 8. You can't take care of this situation. You don't need to do it that way. And I'm appreciative when we do that here, when we talk to one another here, when we discuss this here. He said, I'm going to read this. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world, and if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? He's not talking about someone that's totally left God's Word. He's talking about someone that's trying their best to live God's Word here. He's talking about two people who claim to be Christians and are trying to live as Christians. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? He's saying, Cody, you and Abe have a problem. Would you find the person that you knew in the Lord's church that probably has little knowledge of God's Word and go to them, would you could just settle this for us? No. He and I would try to find someone that's wise, someone that's older. He said, don't do it. And he continues with this thought, and he said, why don't you just rather accept wrong? If you feel like you've been mistreated, just accept it and move on. Don't hold it. You know, one of the worst things in life is holding on to something that is going to destroy us, not someone else. Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated, he said. No, you yourself do wrong and cheat, and you do those things to the brethren. That's a strong language. Strengthen them. Remember our brother Peter? Now he said, I'll never forsake you. And he said, oh, Simon, Satan's asked for you that he might sift you like wheat. But he said, when you return, strengthen the brethren. How could Peter do that? Because Peter would suddenly not be so arrogant about his life, like Abe's been taken down several times in his life. And that helps you, because you can go strengthen someone else and you realize you're not really anything in this life. Consider them first. We talked about this earlier, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Have you ever thought about why one of the reasons you assemble? Do not and let us consider one another to provoke in love and good works. One of the reasons he said, I need to be here, is not because y'all are supporting me to get up here and preach. No, that's not the reason. The reason Abe needs to be here is because I'm supposed to come and consider you and provoke you unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. So I'll end it with the same passage. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. I'm going to just go with verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And again, I want to thank Cody for bringing this up on Wednesday night. Someone recently asked me about my pride, my conceit. I told him, I said, you know, one of the good things about getting old, that goes out the door. Any that I might have had when I was younger, you know, anything that I was capable of doing then, it's amazing, isn't it, Roger, how suddenly that can't do that anymore. And so it just takes it away from you, which is a wonderful thing about getting older. But be of the same mind. All of these things we should do for one another. And again, I want to bring this up. Anytime that you want to see how to treat your brother, turn to Romans 16. And you'll see how Paul felt about his. Paul could have easily been lifted up. Not so. He didn't say, you know what, you're my fellow slave out there. As in, you're to be my slave. He meant we're working together. We're both chosen by God. If you're not a Christian, become one. If you're a Christian and need to make changes in your life you would like us to help you with, let us help you. Would you please stand?